to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, August 5th, 2018.
Nothing more joyful than a baptism, and to have two baptisms at this service and to have had a baptism at the 8 o'clock service this morning is all the more joyful. I was quizzing the baptism families yesterday about what baptism meant to them. What does it mean to you? And all of them talked about the connectedness with this place. Even though they have moved on in their lives or living in different places, this felt like the right place to come to have this service and baptism, to be connected with generations of the family, to be connected with this wonderful extended family of faith here at St. Philip's. This space, this holy space, this holy community is really important. And so in honor of that, I decided this morning I would wear this stole. It sort of matches the gold banners in back, but it comes from Los Angeles, the church where I was baptized, St. James Episcopal Church on Wilshire Boulevard in downtown Los Angeles. This was part of the docile curtain, which used to hang behind the altar. And when they were decommissioning that curtain, one of our family friends said, "Don't throw it away." And she took it and she made beautiful stoles, one for me and one for my wife, because my wife had gone to college with her daughter. It's a small world. We are interconnected in ways that we don't even know. Connectedness is one of the great themes of baptism. In baptism, we are joined, we are connected with Jesus himself in some powerful ways. When we bless the water, I'm going to put a drop or two from water that I brought back from the Jordan River when I was there a couple of years ago, to connect ourselves geographically to the place where Jesus was baptized. But even if we didn't have that water, even if all we had was good old Rochester tap water, we would still be connected spiritually to Jesus, buried with him in his death, so that we might be raised with him in his resurrection. Baptism is about being connected to Jesus' life and death and resurrection. It's about being connected to one another in the family of faith. When we're baptized, we are part of the community. That's why we no longer do private baptisms. I don't know if you went through that. I did as a kid. Baptisms were held on a Saturday morning with the priest and the family and nobody else. But as the church reflected on that, it suddenly made no sense to do it that way, because baptism means becoming part of this family of faith. And where better to do that than in the midst of the family? In a few moments, the parents and godparents will make promises, first for themselves and then on behalf of these kids. Maya's going to join in those promises, right? She's been practicing. She's going to say the words too. And then we are all going to have the opportunity to join in that. We are all going to become honorary godparents for Liam and Maya. We may not see them all that often. They live in different places, but we are representing the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, pledging ourselves to support them, because baptism only works when it is becoming part of a bigger community. Christianity is not a solo endeavor. It's not just me and Jesus. It's me and Jesus and the whole community of faith. One of the great things about becoming a godparent, and I want to thank those who have accepted the responsibility today of being godparents, is that we need in our lives role models and mentors and guides. We cannot do this by ourselves. That's why we are so grateful here for our wonderful Sunday school teachers, for our youth leaders, for the nursery that we're able to offer, for all of the relationships of mentoring and guiding that make such a difference. I was talking to one of those mentors and guides, and she was telling me that when she was baptized, her godmother became a really important person in her life. For all of her life, a person that she could turn to get advice, a person who was praying for her, who was being a Christian example and role model. And that inspired her when she was invited to be a godparent to really take it seriously. Not just to say, oh, that's a very nice family honor, but to really engage with that relationship, to be available and part of the life of that child. That is a gift. Whether or not you're formally a godparent, a tremendous gift. And I hope we can all today appreciate and take a minute to think about the people in our lives who have been those guides and mentors and role models, who have inspired us, who have supported us, who have challenged us sometimes to become the best that we can be. Today, we're going to go through what it means to be a Christian in the baptismal covenant. We had the wonderful reading from Ephesians, which sums up the Christian life in a nutshell. It's Paul's greatest, I think, crystallization of the Christian life in one place. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. He talks about how the job of the Christian is to grow into maturity, into the full stature of Christ. That's what this journey is about. From the very beginnings of our infancy to our life, we are always growing more and more to resemble Jesus. We are to do that maintaining the bonds of unity. We're to do that in relationships of humility and of kindness and openness, working to build up the community of faith. We're to do it always with an eye towards the greater good. That cannot be done on our own. It's only with those relationships of mentors and guides that it's possible. It's only in a community of faith that it's possible. I was reading about some if you ask any particularly successful or famous person, I would venture to say that unless they're a total narcissist, they would be able to point you to role models and mentors who have made a difference for them. I was reading about some. I don't know if you remember Sally Ride, the first woman in space. She was a physicist, and she was encouraged by her lifelong mentor, who was a professor of hers in graduate school, who said, you should apply to NASA to become an astronaut. And she said, I can't be an astronaut. Astronauts are men, and I'm a woman. And he said, apply anyway. And she did, and became the first woman in space. And throughout her life, reflected on that encouraging word that gave her the nudge just at the right time in her life. Or what about a self-made billionaire like Oprah, the most beloved woman in America? Did she come about all by herself? No, Oprah would point to mentors and role models and guides, including the poet Maya Angelou, who was a tremendous inspiration to her. And on it goes. What about Bill Gates? Bill Gates, who taught himself to code, who was totally the genius of computers and business. Bill Gates points to a critical role model in his life, Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, who talked to Bill Gates about, okay, Bill, now you're so successful, you're a multi-billionaire, what are you going to do with all of that money? And encouraged Bill Gates to think about how to give back, and was perhaps the genesis of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which has done as much as any foundation to work on global issues of poverty and disease and hunger around the world. Sometimes we need that nudge, that role model, that mentor, that godparent to help us see the best in ourselves and to take the step forward into growing into the full maturity in Christ that God is calling us to do, to live out our calling, to use the spiritual gifts that God has given us, to develop them and to offer them for the good of the church and the good of the world. We have no idea what amazing potential lies in Liam and Maya. They're just beginning to emerge as people and to show forth their different gifts. But we do know that God has blessed them, has chosen them, and has given them unique gifts for the good of the world. And our job today is to pray for that Holy Spirit to enter and fill them and to bless them and to help them to grow into the full, developed, mature people that God has in mind. God can see the amazing things that these two are capable of. And you know what? He can see the amazing things that you and I are capable of too, because this journey, which begins at baptism, never ends until the day when we join with those who have gone before in God's glorious and eternal kingdom, remembering that when we are buried with Christ in his death, we are raised with him to new life in this world and forever in his heavenly kingdom. May these children today truly be blessed in the sacrament of baptism, and may we, as we renew our own baptismal covenant, be renewed in our sense of God's wonderful blessings and gifts, and inspired to use those gifts for the glory of God and the welfare of the whole world.